Good morning. I'm Daddy, but also I've been known as David, David Shannon. It's a pleasure for me to be here today to share with you. Thank you for inviting me. It was also very good to see many of you on the beach last Sunday as well, as you build up a precious cat and a ramp. I do remember the ramp as well, was beautiful. It's a privilege to be here today, and we're going to be talking about being lost. So, I don't know if the first light is there, and if I know how to do the click, but I do want to say that I will hope to have participation, and whoever feels like want to participate, please come to the front. You can sit on the chairs in the front or on the floor. Leila and Eva was leading the way here, but now they are over there. But if you want to come around, please do. So my first question I want to ask you is, how do you feel when you lose something? Sad, disappointed, annoyed, angry. Panicking, oof. Scared. Deserted, wow. Frustrated. Those feelings go when you lose something. Have you ever felt lost yourself? Yes. You got lost and glowworm. And how did you feel? And how did you feel when you were lost?
Scared and like shocked, because I didn't think it would happen at a disco.
Whoa, wow. There's a lot of feelings about being lost or losing something. And I'm asking this in particular, I don't know if this is working. I did it too much now. Is there a picture of me with a Lambie? Ah, there it is. Thank you. I'm asking this because I lost Lambie. I lost Lambie, and I love Lambie very much. You know, I have other teddies. I have other teddies with me. They're all beautiful. Look, oh, they're all beautiful. But I really, really love Lambie. And it's very special to me. What shall I do? If I lost Lambie, what shall I do? Try to find it. Will you help me to try to find it?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, let's do a toy hunt while Helen does the reading. Okay? Let's come. Everybody that wants to help me find Lambie, please come around. What do you see? Yes.
People are looking for Lambie. I'm going to read from Luke 15, starting at verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear Jesus. They're looking, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." Have you found the lost sheep yet?
No.
No? Okay, keep looking. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. Still looking? Oh dear. Oh, okay. Well, I'll keep going, you keep looking. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. No, still not found it. Do you know?
Be near on one wall. Maybe yeah. What the notices are. Oh, hooray! Yay! Yay! Love me! Well done, Eva! Yay! Woo! Yay! Lambi, Lambi, Lambi! Everybody looks! Lambi! Woo! I found Lambi! Oh, well, you found it! Well done! Ah! Yes. So, I need to know how to use this as well, but I'm going to get my notes. So, Jesus, you know, in this story, am I doing it all right? The other way, isn't it? The other button. Sorry. So, Jesus just told us three stories. All together in Luke 15, about three types of lost. We haven't read the lost son, but we know the story sometimes called the prodigal son or the loving father, and it ended up with the son coming back home and the father embracing him with love and covering the lost son with all everything that happened. He covered it with grace and invited back to the table, to the house, created a big feast, invited everybody. We have the story of the lost sheep. And we hear the story that the shepherd had lots of sheep, but went out to the wilderness to some risk to find the lost one. So even though I had lots of study, I did want to find Lambi. Lambi was feeling lost. Yeah, and I went dancing. That was happening as well in the story. He carried the sheep in his shoulders and went dancing and celebrated and invited everybody. Yes, that's how it happened in the story as well. I sometimes read the story and I fall. Is it really, is Jesus doing one of these hyperboles where it doesn't really mean much, but you had to do a bit of imagination? Until I put myself in the place, and maybe I'm appealing here to parents. What about if you are with a group of youth or children, you're going out to Newcastle, you're with a group of children, and suddenly one of those children go lost. Oh no, what would you do? Yeah, what would you do? And now, if I tell you that that child was your son or your daughter, you will immediately go after them. Any child, I guess. But if you have the love of a parent, you say, I cannot stay here. You will find a place to leave the other children with other, live in a safe place and try to go quickly. And yeah, the word that's used in the song recklessly, I don't know if it's recklessly, but you will go searching diligently and really make an effort because your son or daughter is lost. This is a story that is bringing up in here. And the third story, it's about a coin. I don't have a coin, but I had a treasure with me. So I want you to see this, the treasure, cha-dun, cha-dun. It's not. Oh, but it was here. What is here? Oh, no, I'm sure it was here. Oh, no. What was it? I was a bag of sweets, a red bag of sweets. Can you help me find it? In my, you need to sweep the place. Maybe you need some light. Yeah, a bag of sweets. Yeah, help me find. Yes, probably, I think it was near where Layla is. You need to probably uncover things. Oh, you found it. Wait. Oh, no, Layla. What's your name? Sorry. Megan. Thank you, Megan. Please open it and share it with everybody. We found the treasure. Yay! Yay! Yeah. I also have here some cheat for those who can do more than one thing at a time and get bored with me talking. You can do some coloring or word search. But yes, so in this story about the coin, what happened is that they searched diligently. Megan, where did you find it?
Over there, behind the chairs.
And you had to move things around?
Yeah.
Yes, she had to move things around and search and really, really look out for the place. And in the story, the lady swept diligently, take out all the dirt, and also was shining a light because it was dark. The coin was lost in a dark place. And so she had to shine a light to the coin. So, the first thing I want to ask you is, so these stories illustrate that Jesus tell these stories when he was being asked about why do you spend so much time with the tax collectors, with sinners, and he wanted to say that's not the question. You want to know how much the Father loves everyone. How much the Father loves everyone, especially those who are lost. And that's those three stories that Jesus say is to show God's love. But for a little bit, I want to turn the focus into the lost. So now the story is all about God's great love. But if we look into the lost, God's great love, sorry. How will you describe the person who searches and finds the lost? In the story of the sheep and the story of the coin. Committed, seeking. Loving. Faithful. Never gives up, yeah. Caring, diligent.
He's good.
Good. Loving, good. All those words are there and had to do with this description.
Trustful.
Trust, yes. And what did he do when he find the lost thing?
Dancing.
Share the joy. Dancing, yes. Like that. Woo! Share the joy, feasting. Because that's part of the abundance of love create that joy when those who are lost are found. So this had to do with the image of the father love. But if we now turn the focus to the lost, we have three types of lost. So this is what I want to bring to you, that we have three types of lost. We have the son, the sheep, and the coin, yes. But what are the thinking on the lost? The son is someone who knows is lost and knows how to come back. In the story of the prodigal son that we didn't read, it was a moment that the son said, oh, if I go back to my father, I will find food and shelter and embrace that he wasn't receiving. He knew, he came into realization that he was lost and he knew how to come back. The sheep also knew he was lost. But what's the difference with the sheep? Didn't know how to come back. So what did the shepherd have to do?
Look,
go into the wilderness, go out. Yeah, go out and look and search and strive and don't give up everything that you say. Care, love. He went out for the lost sheep because the sheep didn't know how to come back. And what about the coin? The coin doesn't know it's lost. And the coin doesn't know how to come back.
There's an orange
marble. Thank you. They left her. So That represents, have you seen this type of loss? You know, there are some people that they know that because they are lost, maybe because they rebel against something, something happened in their life, or maybe an opportunity, or they wander off, and they know they're lost. And they know how to come back, but they are still struggling. Have you met somebody that knows that it's lost, but really, really doesn't know how to come back? He's struggling with, I don't know, maybe addictions, maybe he's in a very difficult place and is aware that he's lost. But there might be people that they're living in darkness and they haven't met the Father's love, but they don't know they're lost. Oh, this is yours. So those are the three types of loss. And I want to ask you, have you ever felt lost? Eva told us a story of feeling lost and despair. Think about feeling lost. Think about maybe if there is any aspect of your life, any aspect of your life where you feel like a bit lost, where you feel like you're not finding your way, where you're struggling, where you're puzzled, where you just feel that there's no way out. Maybe it's spiritual. Maybe it's emotional. Maybe it's relational with your relationships. Or maybe it's hardships of your life and you find yourself lost. So I want to tell you, Father loves you and is seeking for you. And it's that Father that wants to embrace you, carry you, and feast with you. I'm going to return to this, okay? But think about, how does it feel for the lost? And now we're going to turn again to the other side. And we know that the Father have love for the lost. And we also know God's love is so great that he sent his church to share his love to everyone. So he's sending you as part of his church to search for the lost. So now you are in a search hunt. As they were for the sheep and the candies, you are in a search hunt for the lost. So three ways to respond to the lost. I do want to say first, and I had this in mind, it comes from passionate love. It comes from acknowledging they are lost and that they need finding. And it comes from a seeking attitude. Maybe you can find out more things that had to do with the three types of loss. So what is the heart attitude when we look for the loss? This is what I thought. You might think of more. I think hope as well and faith in people might have to do with it. But passionate love is certainly there in the story. You were the one that said trust. Trust that God will do the way. You need resilience. Yes. Seeking attitude with resilience. Thank you. So that's part of it. And I thought about this one as well. So if it's a son type of loss, if they know they are lost and they know how to come back, lovingly, prayerfully, patiently, and being welcoming. They may have hurt us. They may have left with a bit of a rubble like the prodigal son did, but we can always show love by embracing and welcoming them back. Preparing a space, be waiting, be trusting. What about if they are lost and they need, maybe asking for help, maybe in the wrong ways, but if we are actively seeking it out, and then we can hear them. And we're going to take risks, because it takes risk. And it's loving selflessly. It's getting out of our comfort zone. We have the 99, but if we go and find the stray, for the stray one, we're going to leave the comfort of the 99. So that's a bit of an attitude. So think about those who are lost and they are asking for help, maybe in the wrong ways. How can we seek them out? And what about the coins? If those coins in the world, you need to shine your light. Seeking diligently. She was sweeping all the dust, looking in every corner, the darkest corners as well. The lady was out in those corners, shining her light. So, if you... this is the part that I might be out of time, but I wanted to share a story to illustrate the third one. Why I'm doing this is because I was talking with a pioneer from another church, and they were saying, oh, this church is missional, but they don't seem to know what to do. And they were describing what they were doing. They are great at welcoming. They are great at inviting and preparing space and accepting everybody in any condition. And I was saying, oh, that's a church that is great with the lost sons of the world. The people that know they're lost, and then when they come back, they are welcome and well received. But if we look into a sort of a canvas of how the country is nowadays, there's few people, some people, that are lost and they know they're lost and they know how to come back. There are more percentage of people that know they're lost, but they don't know how to come back. They are like sheep, like a lost sheep. But the greatest percentage of people in this country nowadays, if we take a picture, they don't even know they are lost. They don't even know they are in darkness. They don't even know what they are missing. They don't know what the message of God is whatsoever. So they don't know how to call to God. So even if we prepare a great space and welcoming space, they will not come back because they don't know what they don't know. So I want to address this matter of shining light with one story. So this is story time. And I hope it illustrates this. This is a story of Ruby Bridges. This is Ruby. And this is her first day of school. Do you remember your first day of school?
Yes.
Yes. And there's a lot of excitement, and maybe you're nervous. Oh, what are going to be my new friends? She's going to go to a new school. She was starting year one. And there were all this sort of feeling of excitement and parents preparing, you know? But it was a bit different for Ruby. It was a bit different. The year was 1960, like 66 years ago. The place was New Orleans. And finally, after 6 years, actually, where this should have happened, New Orleans started ending segregated school. This means that before that year, Black American people, children, will go to one school for Black Americans, and white Americans will go to another school. And they didn't, the government didn't want them to mix up, which is, we know it's wrong now, but people at that time were living in a world that they thought that was right. And so there was a law, and they started addressing that law. And 6 Black American children, after a very difficult exam, they were offered a space in what was before white schools. 3 of them went to one school, 2 of them decided not to start, and the other one was Ruby, which she wanted to start, and she was very excited to start year one in France Elementary School in New Orleans. But it was different for her. So she needed to be escorted by 4 marshals, because the parents didn't know that at the beginning, but an angry mob was waiting for them. And that angry mob was chanting racial slurs and very aggressive stuff to her mother that was with her. And they thought, yeah, they might be aggressive, so the marshals were there to protect her. That first day, she spent the whole day in the principal's office, because parents were still chanting and it was dangerous, and they started taking all the children out of school. That what happened on the first day. The second day, she was able to go in, and Barbara Henry, she was particularly called for this role because no other teacher wanted to teach Ruby in that school. And she came from Boston to teach Ruby. I'm going to tell that during that year, the first year, year one, Ruby was the only student of Barbara. And they spent a lot of time together. Ruby say how they became friends, and Barbara was like a second mother to her. But no other teacher wanted to do that. Actually, Barbara lost her that job later on. She returned, I think, to Boston. They face a lot of oppression. Actually, the parents, his dad lost his job. Later on, he was given another job because of this. The grocery refused to sell them food. So other people mobilized to make sure, but this was what they were going on, just to step out into a dark situation, offering light. So that was courageous Ruby there. On her first, this is her second day in place. But also, so I did mention some other people stood up and offered light. But this is, I want to say another story. I mean, Ruby was very, very courageous, and she stood up. And this is a different thing. But Pam here, she was like, I want to go to school. And her dad, who was a Methodist minister, said, yeah, I will take you to school. So that was the second day. She was not in the first same class. She was 1 year younger, preschool. And they walk through the angry mob that was still was there in the following day, where Ruby was having her own session there, and she was the only one in the school. That day, Lloyd Anderson Foreman also have a very difficult walk. He called it the longest walk. Pam wanted to go to school. And this man said, yes, school should be integrated. So they were chanting things against him, and he found it very difficult. And people were saying that even the Bible was justifying segregation, which we know is not true. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And he's like a blazing sun, shining light into the darkness. But he also said that you are the light of the world. And we can be like moons that are shining his light in the darkness. And so that's the call. We know that it's not that racism ended. Racism, that's one of the mobs. If you look into this story, there's a lot of pictures of the angry mob. Racism didn't end that day. But that day, Ruby, particularly for her mother and father, but then also for the teacher and the others that started sending their children to school, it was shown that it was wrong. Again, racism didn't end, but at least light was shown, and it shone into that, and racism was proved wrong, and segregation illegal. And so the mob started to stop going there, and things started to change. And so it's paving that way for an integrated society, what Ruby did and others. So in what way is... And we know that we can pass this light. This is what I also want to say. We can pass this light into others so that they can shine that light. This is the following year, where that first year, Ruby was not allowed to play with other children, but the following year, she was. And she was playing and make friends. And you will hear the story from her as well, and she talks about God in all of it. In what way is God calling you to shine light into a world of darkness nowadays? I don't know what if you look around, maybe it's individualism, that you find that people they don't know that they live in a self-contained situation. Maybe it's hopelessness, maybe it's despair, maybe it's greed. Greed is a big one as well in this nation. What is it that you know is wrong, you know it's darkness, but the people that aren't living there, they don't realize that. How can we shine our light into them, show them the light of God? So this is the story of Ruby. I hope that it helps you. So today, we heard about how much God loves us and how much God loves the lost. And we look at these stories in Luke 16 as three types of lost. So the question is, if you feel lost, I will assume you know how to come back, or actually you know you're lost. So you're not going to ask you, do you feel lost, if you don't know that you're lost. So if you are the type of lost that know, it's like the sun, that know is lost and know how to come back, I want to tell you, receive the Father's embrace. Receive God's loving and overwhelming love and grace to you. God loves you, and he wants to greet you and cover you with his grace. If you don't know your way back, ask for help. Start asking for help. Start shouting louder and louder. You might know, if you're here, if you are in the stream, you might notice people here you trust. Come to them. If you want, we can pray as well after the service. Ask for help. This is what's going on. I'm feeling lost. I need help. And also, I want to say that God is calling us all to seek for the lost. So, how are we seeking for the lost son, for the lost sheep, for the lost coins? Are we? So, it's an invitation for you to love generously and seek. Also being aware of those who are lost and go out and find out. And also be a welcoming space for those who come back. Thank you. Yeah, we can pray and the band will prepare and they will have some songs. Thank you, Lord, for your great, amazing, overwhelming love that you seek the lost. You don't want anyone to perish. Actually, you say you find great pleasure. Heavens are chanting, heavens are celebrating when the lost are found. Thank you, Lord, for this love. And Lord, we want to, come to you. In every area of our life where we feel lost, we want to come to you. Lord, we need your help. Please help us. And we want to also your help, and that you will send us out to seek for the lost in the world. Those who know their loss and know how to come back. Those who doesn't know how to come back, and those who doesn't even know their loss. Send us out, Lord. We want to be doing your mission and your will. Thank you for your great love. And we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.